welcome to episode 65 of
Brutal Battle.
And that stuttering fool is Mike. He is back again. We're going for the trifecta. Things come in threes a lot of the time, and Mike is one of those things that comes in threes. So here he is for the third time.
That's what she said.
And he's here. He's here. Yeah. So, he's back, and we should just get the Hob knowledge out of the way. And then we can get back
hey,
to
you. Hey, you got to do your little song.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm about to do it. Hop knowledge for you, Stu. The hop we have today is Galena. Origin is the United States. Description is clean, pleasant bitterness. Details, bred in 1968 from a seedling of Brewer's Gold, and it was released in 1978. One of the most widely used commercial bittering hops in the United States.
Interesting.
Yeah, used only for bitterness, pretty much. Substitutions that have been used for it, Chinook, as well as cluster hops.
I'm quite familiar with those two, but not that one.
Not Galena. Two examples of beers done with Galena, Kona Brewing Fire Rock Pale Ale, as well as Trogue's Double Espresso Oatmeal Stout.
Interesting.
Which I believe was one of their scratch beers.
I believe so, yes.
And I actually think I did get to try it when it came out, and it was the bomb. The bomb dictée. So, if you listened to the last episode, no, we did not screw up. There really was no name on that Cigar City and New Belgium Lips of Faith beer. It was in the Lips of Faith series, and it was just a Cigar City New Belgium collaboration. They had no actual name for it. So, just wanted to throw that out there so everyone knew that one. So, Mike, I wanted to talk to you again about stuff related to your job. In Maryland, which is where we live, pretty soon they're going to be voting on the ability for liquor stores to have growler filling.
Well, in our county, Harford County, there are a couple counties that are already allowed to do it for liquor
really?
Stores in Maryland, yes. Perfect Pour is allowed to do it, and I've been hearing stand-up jobs from them. Baltimore City is allowed to do it. World of Beer, I believe, which they are another store down in Baltimore that does a phenomenal job. But no, yes, Harford County's ballot is about to go up for April 1st for us to be allowed to fill growlers. Expected date around July 1st, which we are chomping at the teeth for.
Yeah, that's what I hear. So when growlers go in, how do you envision that changing sales?
I don't see it envisioning changing sales at all. When done right, growlers, keg draft beer, you want to go with your one-offs, your non-six-pack beer. So your regular six-pack, 12-pack buyers are still buying those beers to consume whenever they want. Your growlers are for, I can't get this unless I buy a keg of it. Now I can get a growler of it, take it home. It's to be consumed within 48 hours. So you're not stealing any sales from, say, your six packs or your cases. You're just adding another opportunity for that, I'm off of work, I want a really good beer, I can't buy this in the bottle, so I'm going to get a growler.
And most likely I would think that people are going to, whatever they buy in the growler, they're going to drink either that night or the next.
Correct,
because
yes.
They don't really stay too well once
you
open the
growler. No, the way growlers are designed, your ideal lifespan for them is max 48 hours. Depending on your system, like if you go to Trogue's Brewery up in Hershey, Pennsylvania, they have a gorgeous system that I have personally had growlers go 3, even 4 days. Before opening them and drinking them. Now, it's not opening them every night, pouring a glass. That's waiting till the third or fourth night to actually crack it and open it, but they still stay good. But you're talking about a brewery that has top-notch, state-of-the-art, high-end system that no liquor store could ever justify putting in their building.
So, first of all, what sizes of growlers would you plan on having?
We plan on having the 32 and 64 ounce growlers. They're your two main standard sizes, where 64 ounce is your average take-home growler, say you get from Duclos, Trogues, or most other breweries. There are 64 ounces.
Okay.
We also plan on adding the 32-ounce option for the people that would rather have more variety than rather one or two different beers.
Which I would probably be the 32-ounce person, because since I'm a ticker and I'm just looking to cross things off of my list.
Yes.
So, I don't know, how many beers, how many pints of beer do you think is in a 32? Is that maybe like four beers? Well, three, four?
32 ounces divided by 16. No, you're not looking at too many beers. Your benefit of getting
about three beers
is you're getting your draft beer that you plan on consuming that night for the 32 ounce. It's not a weekend style growler. It's, I had a bad day at work, I want a really good beer that I can only get on draft. I don't have a kegerator. This is the alternative.
That's a great one. I think that's something that I would end up utilizing quite a bit. Do you currently have ideas for specific beers you want to get?
Specific beers, no, not really. Specific breweries, like, say, Stillwater Brewers Art, that they don't do a lot of bottling or canning. They're mostly a draft item only. And personally, I like supporting local, so I'd like to see more local than non-local on tap.
That's admirable. Well, here's another question. If you, and I don't know if this is accurate or not, but I've heard in some places, and I don't know if it's this way in Maryland, you can get certain breweries beer in kegs, but you cannot get it any other way. So is there a possibility that when this happens, if and when this happens, that you could get beer for breweries that you can't otherwise carry?
Correct. No, there are several beer breweries that are available in Maryland. Well, they're available at draft only, so there's no point in keeping a keg or two on hand hoping I'm going to sell it, because that's a lot of beer for one person to go through.
Yeah.
But I have people coming in on a regular basis looking for this beer, but I have to go, no, I'm sorry, I can order you a keg of it, but I can't get you a six-pack or a single bottle.
Which just seems kind of weird.
Correct. But once again, that's... And every state's different. I like Maryland's laws better than I like Pennsylvania's laws.
We've talked about those a lot.
Maryland still has a little bit of some discrepancy in the alcohol laws that we could afford to get more into this state if we loosen them a little bit.
Yeah. So that said, are there any breweries that you could only get that way that you're thinking about? Or just any that you know offhand that you...
Nothing like super, like the brewery itself that's available in Maryland that I can get kegs of on a fairly regular basis. There's a few like secret items out there that I know get released certain times of the year, which I would rather not mention. It's like, okay, I might be able to get my hands on this, but it's going to be a coin flip at whether it's a yay or nay.
You just don't want to make promises. Correct. At this point. Yeah. Gotta keep it close to the vest, too, in case competition's listening.
Yeah, and not just competition's listening, but the availability of some of these one-offs, limited release. It's such a random of whether Maryland will either A, see some, or Maryland will see enough that I'll be able to get my hands on it, because there is a very competitive market for the beer in Maryland.
Yeah. So, if this law were to go into effect, when would it go into effect?
Well, it's looking like the vote will be on April 1st, where if the vote is truly on April 1st and it is passed, we will start doing work on the 2nd to get our system set up and operational. And if everything goes to plan, it looks like July 1st will be the first day we can legally start filling growlers for people.
So when would you guys start doing it?
Pouring growlers? July 1st.
That day.
We want to be up and operational the first legal day.
Wow.
We can.
Wasting no time.
No, not at all. We want to go big. Our theory is go big or go home. We're perfect. Starting off with hopefully 24 taps, and it's in debate whether we're going to do 20 beer taps and 4 wine taps, or 22 beer taps and 2 wine taps. We're still in talks of kind of what mixture we want. Because, yes, wine comes in kegs. Good wine comes in kegs. And we will be willing to pour it if people are willing to buy it. But we realize beer is still the majority holder of the keg business. So we're reserving the right for a majority of our taps for all beer.
And I'm going to be honest, I had no idea that you could get wine in kegs. So
it's a weird concept, but yes, you can get wine in kegs.
Well, first people were like, what Screwtop wines? And then they were like, what good wine in boxes? Now it's going to be, what wine in kegs? Yeah. Wow. Yeah, we learn something new every day, and that includes me just now. So, full disclosure, I'll say, you know, you were saying April 1st. I think this episode may actually end up being after that. So everyone knows we are recording before April 1st. So that's why he said April 1st, and it may come out after, but we're recording before April 1st. So I think you had mentioned to me before that people would be able to have samples of some of this stuff before purchasing.
Depending on the establishment, we have a year-round tasting license. Good. Any day of the week, we choose fit. Any day of the year, we choose fit. As a store, we legally can open any bottle we want and taste it throughout the day. With having a growler setup system, the same laws apply. Cool. So we can literally go and pour a 1 ounce sample off of any of our draft samples and let you try it before you buy it.
That's awesome. So, hypothetically speaking, if I came in and I wanted to take a taste of all of these 24 beers on tap, could I do that?
Well, 24 is a little much. We pride ourselves on being responsible. So, okay. To try one person on that many samples on a day, I'd have to probably say no to. Because you do have to drive home, and we're not a restaurant serving you food either.
But what if it's just like one sip for each one? Would that be acceptable?
Depending, all of them probably not, no.
Okay.
I would say at most, comfortably, small samples, 10 on the safe side. Do I think it's going to get you drunk? No. But right. As an operator of a liquor store, there is a form of responsibility on us that I can't just be handing samples out willy-nilly and say, all right, here's your six-pack or your growler and go drive home.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, based on that information, what my plan is. When I come in, I'm going to sample 10 and then purchase an 11th one that I have not tried. That's my plan.
Note to self, be in there every time Carlin is.
And that's perfect for me, being a ticker, because then I can go in, I can be like, I just had 10 new beers, and I brought an 11th one home that I'll try.
Yes, but knowing you, you're going to bring home more than one that you haven't tried.
Oh, yeah, so that's another question. Will there be any sort of limit on the amount of growlers you can have filled at a time?
No, I would fill one growler, I would fill 100 growlers. It's up to the responsibility of the person buying it to consume it in an appropriate fashion in the time frame that's acceptable for growlers. So if you want to come in and, say, buy 200 growlers and only go through 5 of them and the rest spoil on you, it's your money, it's your problem. I might recommend you not to buy that many,
right?
Because of the lifespan on growlers. But no, there's no limitation. I can fill as many growlers for one person as I want. It's not to be consumed on my premise. So I can sell as many to one person as I want. But a recommendation would go out is, hey, in all reality, you really only have 48 hours to consume this. Do you really need all this?
Yeah. And it's interesting because I'm sitting here as you're talking about it and thinking about the laws in Pennsylvania and how they're so different when it comes to this. First of all, you can't have this takeout beer that's either like a six-pack or mixed six-packs or growlers unless you also serve food at your establishment. On top of that, one person can only purchase, I think it's like 92 ounces of beer at a time.
Yeah.
But I will say the way they get around that is they'll let you make separate purchases and make sure that you are only carrying 92 ounces at a time to your car.
And funny that you mentioned this because I just heard this today that Pennsylvania just opened up Giant to sell beer
really?
In their stores. But the catch is you are only allowed to buy one case at a time. You can't buy less than one case. You can't buy more than one case.
So if you
want two cases, you have to go in, you buy pick up one case, so you have to go straight to the register. You can't just put it in your cart and walk around the rest of the grocery store. You have to take your beer, go straight to the register. Clerks don't even ID you. There's a machine you put your ID in.
Weird.
The machine verifies your age, and it's legal for you to sell, you buy it, you put it out of your cart, and then you'd have to go back in for your second case or third case of how many times you need to do this.
Wow. But I could see a situation where they could program that automatic reader for the license to recognize if the same license has come through but in X amount of time.
It's not about the same license. The law doesn't say one license can buy per day. It's per one transaction.
So then the law is pointless. Yeah,
exactly. So literally, pointless. You can just do a revolving circle in and out of the building and just load a trailer up or whatever. And as long as you're doing a case at a time, you have a valid license, it's legal.
That person could do it. Someone could do it all day. All day long.
Exactly.
God, that's so stupid.
The hey mister down by the corner?
Yeah. Jeez. And it's so weird because, you know, Maryland and Pennsylvania are obviously right there. You know, the Mason-Dixon line is what, you know, delineates one from the other. And it's so weird because you can just, you know, for me, it's like not even an hour drive to get to Pennsylvania.
No.
And, you know, I'm here and I can buy as much beer as I want whenever I want. And then I go there and I can only do 92 ounces per transaction. And it's annoying. Oh, so crazy. So weird. Good conversation on that, though. Obviously, you're very excited about the growler fill potential.
As a big growler beer nut geek that loves when, say, I go up to Trogues, I'm coming home with at least 4 or 5 growlers personal.
Oh, yeah.
Not including the guys that are going up there with me. When we make a trip back, 3-4 guys, you're looking at least 15-20 growlers between us all.
Stocking up?
Yep.
Well, I'll say this much. When you guys get, if and when you guys get the growler fill ability, I will be there constantly. Will you guys, I know you have like newsletters you send out. Are you going to put what's on tap in there?
Well, actually, with the way the company we're looking at to set up our growler system, it looks like it will be straight hooked up to our Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
So when we tap a new beer on our growler system, it will instantly go up on our Facebook page. When we run out of a beer, it will go up on our Facebook page.
Okay.
So the best way to really feel us out, and especially with new beers coming in every week, I've been using Facebook to the T. If you want the first come, first information, Facebook is the way to do it. I hate to say it because personally I don't use it, but as a business advertisement aspect, I respect it, and it's a good way to get the information out there as quick as possible.
And that's true of any social media like Twitter. I mean, you know, I felt like I had no use for Twitter ever, and I never had an account until I started doing this podcast, and like, I'm like,
personally,
I guess I should.
I don't care when you're drinking a Coke at the 7-Eleven down the street, but there's actually a purpose to it when used proper.
Exactly. And now that I have followers, that gives more reach to the podcast. And so it has its place, but if I wasn't doing this podcast, there's no way I'd have a Twitter account. So, you know.
Like I say, personally, there's only one online social networking site I belong to, and that's Untappd.
There you go.
Which I preach religiously, because it ain't about what you're doing, it's about what you're drinking and what you think.
Yep. And I just wanted to throw out there, based on that, that I had gotten a friend request on Untappd from Beer Coasters podcast.
Nice.
And then they gave me a shout out on one of their shows. So in return, I want to give a shout out to the Beer Coasters on this podcast. Thank you very much, Beer Coasters. I've listened to your show before and I enjoy it. You guys are awesome. Keep doing what you're doing.
Beer Coasters.
Yeah. Well, we're at the end of our opening phase, so let's jump into trying these mystery beers that lie in front of us.
I got one light and one dark in front of me. You really switched it up here.
Yeah, this is very different. I'd say looking at it, it's yellow. There's a little bit
almost
of orange.
Straw.
Yeah, straw very like. Straw. Very straw. A little cloudy to look through. And then B is actually very dark. Probably porter stout, something like that. But there's pretty much no head on A. I'm going to give this a swirl and a sniff. Uh-oh.
Hefeweizen-ish.
Yes. Hefeweizen style. I think I might know what it is.
I'm thinking Polliner, personally.
It's got that banana chip
scent. It's definitely almost a German Hefeweizen, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's got the banana
like
chip.
Trogs Dreamweaver. They do a very good job of a German Hefeweizen. It's not like your bastardized Blue Moon, which claim to be a German wheat Hefeweizen style when really it's a oranged up citrus bastardized version of it.
This has got a bit of a, it's got a lemony note on the nose as well, which is playing quite nice with the sugary scent of like a banana chip.
I feel like it is a Hefeweizen, and if it is, it's a very well-made one. Because I do get mild notes of banana,
ooh,
a little clovey.
What is, my God, that is drying my mouth out like crazy. What the?
No, wait, which beer are you still on? Are you still on the Double Bastard or the Nats?
Oh, yeah.
I'm so far ahead of you, I've lost track.
Yeah, it's important to note that we did not have a warm-up beer for this episode. Not because Mike didn't bring one, because he did. He brought another Stone beer, but we're not drinking it because...
Sorry, I love Stone.
Yeah, he does. We're not drinking it because he went through all of his Stone stuff, but I still have the Double Bastard sitting in front of me and a lot of it. It's just, I've been talking so much that I haven't had enough time to drink. But that's just excuses, so... What's your thought on the taste of A? It is drying my mouth out a lot. It's chalky, I feel like. Do you get that? It almost is like eating... You know when you get like the strings on your banana?
Well, see,
from the peel?
I was about to say, it's more like the banana rind, banana peel, yes, than I would say it is chalky, which makes me think it's more of your Belgian-style German Hefeweizen.
Yeah, yeah, but... I don't know. I'm really not liking how it's drying my mouth out. And it is very banana-y.
But see, for me, it's not drying the mouth out too much.
I feel like this is kind of...
Like on a hot summer day with some watermelon and some hot dogs or something, I think I could dig on this beer.
I can't. I'm going to be honest. It's very banana-y. It's drying the hell out of my mouth. And on top of that, I feel like it's inappropriately astringent in the taste. Like, I'm just getting so much alcohol on the finish of that beer. Like, I just get, like, that banana rind, see, banana peel start, and then it just falls off.
I'm only feeling, like, a high alcohol. Fours, low fives for alcohol.
Really? It tastes like eight or more.
There's no way that's eight.
Well, if it's not, it tastes like it, and it's just not right. I'm not a fan of this beer. I'm not a fan. So most people, especially Stu, I know, can probably guess what I'm going to rate it at this point. So
one, maybe two.
Yeah, we'll see about that. I'm going to have to do a game time decision. But, I mean, it's not something that I'm going to throw up over, but yeah, it's not something I'm going to drink much
don't
more of.
Picture you as a Hefeweizen German wheat drinker at all, really.
I used to be.
Well, yeah, you used to drink Miller Lite, too. What's your point?
Yeah, that too. But it was triple hops brewed.
Triple hop, because not all beer is not triple hopped. I love that ad. We're triple hopped, really? Because just about every beer is triple hopped.
No, that means
advertising that,
it means literally they only put three hops into each batch. That's how that is.
Three hop cones. And by hop cones, I mean pellets, because Miller's too cheap to even use hop cones.
We don't get fresh hops. What is that crap? Yeah, so A, not a fan. If you, listeners, if you really like the taste of banana peels.
Banana, clovey, mixing with a little orange, and that's why I want to say I feel like it is a Belgian Hefeweizen.
It's got to be something like it. I'm ready to move on to B. Hopefully something much more
promising. Ooh, that's a coffee stout, I want to say.
Yeah, B is very dark. It has a very tan head to it, which would make you think it's coffee stout.
But just sticking your nose in there, I get almost a very espresso coffee-esque aroma. And unfortunately, coffee and espresso are not things I like. When I think of coffee, I think of Mountain Dew.
Why do you think of Mountain Dew when you think of coffee?
Because that's what I drink in the morning to wake me up.
Oh, okay.
I don't drink coffee. I drink Mountain Dew.
I was like, is there a coffee-flavored Mountain Dew now?
Oh, my God. If there was, I'd be the number one buyer.
Disgusting. Yeah, I'm getting some coffee scent for sure. See,
I almost want to say Elysian's Triple Shot Espresso.
Or Split Shot?
Split Shot. Thank you. Yes.
It does kind of smell like that. I had one not long ago, and it does smell like that. Because I'm getting that lactic smell, like milk.
You kind of got a milky coffee aroma going onto it.
The Split Shot is an espresso milk stout, so that would fit the bill. It smells good. But the milk that I get is very sweet smelling to it. It's more like a half and half or something.
See, very interesting. I want to go Elysian, but I could see this almost being maybe the Lancaster milk stout. Because they do a very good job on milk stout.
I will say that the nose is actually almost imparting a little bit of a fruity note to it.
So I think that might be all the beers we've had tonight.
Yeah, who knows? I don't think that this is the split shot. Unless I'm very confused. Yeah, I'm going to drink some water as well. Definitely got to rinse.
Get a nice palate cleanser in there. Yeah. See, I want to say it's definitely a milk stout or coffee stout of some sort. And I'm leaning toward the Elysian split shot. But with those giant big bags you guys had them in, it's hard to tell whether it's a 22, a 12-ounce, can, a bottle.
That's the point. It's got to be totally blind. I could see it being that because I am getting an espresso-ish taste, and I am getting the
milk. I could see it maybe being like Schlafly coffee stout because they tend to have that kind of heavier coffee, almost milk stout-esque flavor in the back finish.
I will say as far as this style goes, it's not the best. It's a bit chalky as well on the finish.
See, and I'm the worst person to judge the style because I don't like coffee espresso flavor. You know, back when I was 16, I was working for a catering company that I had to clean out the cheapest, stalest coffee pots for like industrial strength, 50-gallon style pots, and I had my head in cleaning it out. And ever since there, just really the smell and aroma of coffee makes me nauseous.
Well, that sucks.
Coffee beers I can tolerate and drink because you don't have that super coffee pungent aroma in you. But it, like dark chocolate, I've never liked it because it tastes too much like coffee.
Interesting. This beer is, it's not bad. And the more I taste of it, the more I'm my palate's getting used to it and I'm liking it more and more.
And that's one of the things I always have trouble rating beers. Do I rate the beer on truly what I personally think of the flavor or what the style is to what it makes? Because I can take a beer I don't like and pick out flavors that I'm like, okay, I can appreciate why somebody would like this beer. So I can understand why this is a good beer. Personally, not my cup of tea.
Right.
But it's not a taste profile I like. So I can't go in expecting that I'm actually going to like this beer.
Right. And the thing is, it's on the show, it's kind of a mixture of that. It's kind of trying to mitigate that. But, I'm going to be honest, there are certain days where it doesn't matter what the style is supposed to be to me. If it's not tasting a certain way, then I'm just going to kill it. But I am getting a bit of a chocolatey note in beer B as well, in the aroma a tad and in the flavor as well. I can see that
because the chocolate nibs, the coffee, they have a very similar, the roasted malts, they all have a very similar flavor that can be very misconstrued if you're not completely and 100% familiar with it.
Definitely. Well, do you have numbers in mind? Would you be ready to evaluate
these? Let me get another quick sample and then yes.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to sniff between the two.
See, and once again, these are two styles. I am not.
And these are like polar opposites as far as sense.
I feel like I got a Hefeweizen on one end and then a giant stout on the other. So it's like, I feel like I should try and rate the two against each other, but there's no way I could because of the complete...
Oh my god.
And I wish I had a camera that I could show you the picture of just the color of the two I'm trying right now.
Here, do this. Take a sip of B and then take a sip of A and tell me how that is.
So take a sip of B and then A?
Yes. And then tell me what you're getting in A after that. Because it was interesting to me. What's that like? Extremely sugary, isn't it?
Kind of, but I kind of want to make a black and tan out of two. I'm not going to lie.
You can go ahead and do that. Why not?
Yeah, hold on one sec, people. It's not an official black and tan because I don't have my spoon, but let me give you a rating of the two combined.
Yep, he has now mixed the two beers. What's that like, Mike?
Actually, I am kind of a big fan. I don't have any germs or STDs, so if you'd like to try my cup, you can.
I'm going to do it, actually.
Because,
I'm going to do the same. I will follow suit.
This is actually quite interesting.
This could be a...
I think the espresso, black and tan might win it out for the night.
Espresso milk Hefeweizen. That's not bad.
Oh, yeah.
That's not bad.
I almost rate the Black and Tan better than I would do either one of the beers by themselves.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. Because it subdues that banana flavor. Mm-hmm.
And it kind of subdues the coffee espresso flavor in the other one.
It does. Actually, I do think I like B by itself better, but not terrible.
Well, no, I'd have to agree with you on that one, just because of the whole Hefeweizen and banana clove flavors that I was picking out. I'd rather have a dark beer than a Hefeweizen, even though I prefer my IPA hoppy beers. The dark beers I appreciate more than your, I hate to say it, but your kind of almost bland Hefeweizen, I want to be a smooth, drinkable beer.
Yeah. Well, do you know what you want to give these beers? I can take the lead if you want.
No, why don't you take the lead this time? Because I'm still kind of debating on the dark beer, which I believe is a coffee stout.
Okay. A, I am going to put a 2 on. Your thoughts?
I'm going to have to agree with you on that one. The whole banana clovey flavors that we're partaking, it wasn't up my alley.
Yeah. I was not feeling it. And it's just, I mean, it would have been so different if it was kind of that, like, banana chip scent, getting that flavor. But it was, like, banana peel, and it has that tannic quality, like, which just dries you out.
I would take it over a Blue Moon. But, to me, it was still too banana clovey, really, to sit there and enjoy to drink.
Yep, I hear you. All right, and then I'm going to put a 4 on B. I actually kind of enjoyed it.
See, I'm, once again, coffee espresso is not up my alley, but with the appreciation of taste and flavor, and I think to what my girlfriend would like because she loves those flavors, I was thinking a 4 or 5 in quality, because just because I personally don't like a beer doesn't mean I can't appreciate a well-made beer, despite my personal taste profile. So I was thinking around a 4 or 5. So I'm going to go with a 4 and agree with you on that one.
Okay. So Beer B wins for this episode with an overall 4. And Beer A is the loser of this episode with an overall 2. I would not choose to drink A again. Mm. I could see a situation where I would choose to drink B again.
Well, and honestly, out of all of them, I would prefer the Black and Tan mixture to either or personally. The Black and Tan mixture, I'd rate close to a 5 or 6, in my opinion, for my taste profile.
I don't even think it would necessarily be a tan. It'd be like a black and yellow.
Well, but you also get, this is the same guy that on Easter Sunday was making Black and Tans out of Brewer's Art Resurrection and Sweet Baby Jesus from Duke Walls and calling it a resurrected Sweet Baby Jesus.
Oh, nice. That's a good joke.
But surprisingly, is extremely good.
So everyone, you heard it here first from Mike. Resurrection by Brewer's Art and Sweet Baby Jesus by Duke Claw together. Resurrected Jesus.
Resurrected Sweet Baby Jesus.
Yes, and he says it's good. But I would say that since it's not quite tan, it'd be a black and yellow, which I guess you could then just call this a hornet.
Wow, but see, then you're pissing me off by making, like, Steelers colors, and that's, like, fighting words over here in Maryland. I hate to say it, but you just said black and yellow, so it's like, wait a second.
That's why I said you call it a hornet.
We're purple nation over here.
No. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and reveal A, which was the loser with 2. Do you have any guesses on what, I mean, obviously we talked Hefeweizen.
Yeah, I want to go Paulaner Hefeweizen personally. Okay. I don't really think it's the Paulaner brand, but that's just one of the most familiar Hefeweizens that I'm with in that taste profile.
Okay. Well, A, with an overall of 2, is
Mary Monks.
Mary Monks by Weyerbacher. Belgian style triple ale. 9.3% alcohol, which is probably why I said it was astringent. Yeah. And it was dry.
And I didn't
out.
Think the alcohol was there, and you did.
Certainly.
I say kudos, my good sir.
Well, thank you, sir. This is relatively fresh, too. It was bottled in December. So,
which I gotta say, since they've changed their artwork up, too, I've become a big fan of their new artwork.
Yeah, their artwork is cool. They have this little logo on the neck of the bottle.
The
of gestures, this gesture.
Yeah.
He looks kind of creepy, which I like.
Yeah, because for the longest time, Weyerbacher, they went with their old, almost 80s, 90s style six-pack carrier advertisement, and it was just looking way too out of date.
Yeah.
But then they revamped their logos and their packaging, and I gotta say, for all the old breweries out there, that's a big thing today.
Yeah.
If your product doesn't look hot on the shelf, it ain't gonna move off the shelf.
Yep. got it. All right, well, let's go ahead and reveal B, the winner of this episode, with an overall of 4. Any guesses on this one?
So, besides Elysian Split Shot, which I've already said now.
Okay. Well, B with an overall 4 is... Old Rasputin!
Wow.
Old Rasputin. I'm Russian Imperial Stout.
I'm surprised. I don't remember as many coffee espresso flavors in that the last time I had it.
You know...
But it's those darn blind tastings that can really throw your sensories off for a loop.
The last time I had this beer, it tasted so much thicker, much more robust.
Almost like a 10-50 where it's like motor oil being poured out of it.
I don't know what happened. I don't know. It's kind of weird because it doesn't taste like what I assume. Yeah. But I will say, it says 9% alcohol, and I feel like that was hidden very well.
North Coast is always known for making great products, and I've always preached about their Old Rasputin. But when a blind tasting, not knowing, I did not realize there was that much espresso and coffee flavors behind it, which makes me think it's really interesting, and I want to start doing more blind tastings of having somebody just open something random and be like, all right, tell me what it is.
Yeah, it's not easy.
No.
This beer was brewed over a year ago. So it's about a year and a month old.
And you were saying how breweries need to put dates on everything.
And North Coast has done that.
Certain breweries I agree with. But there are just some beers where unless you're designing them, I feel for cellaring, age doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, sorry, North Coast. Usually I really, really like Old Rasputin.
Yeah, same here.
I have some in my fridge right now, honestly. I don't know what happened here. Maybe it was all the flavors that we were trying, so apologies to North Coast.
We have done a lot of beers tonight and a lot of big beers, once again. I'm to blame at that because my average percent is around 7.5% alcohol for beers I drink. So when I came over tonight... I brought probably a little bit bigger of beers to enjoy than I probably should have, but that's the fun in drinking beer.
Yeah, that's what happens on the show. So when we poured the Merry Monks and the Old Rasputin together, I guess it became a Merry Rasputin, which is kind of ironic because he was certainly not a merry person, Rasputin.
Which actually makes me kind of funny because there is a black and tan with the Old Heathen, their Imperial Stout, and their Double Simcoe.
Okay.
Which actually make a phenomenal black and tan. I've had several of them all the time. So when I saw the Blithering Idiot, I'm like, really? Out of all the beers I would have picked for the black and tan, you wouldn't have been that one that I would have picked that I just poured into the glass.
Well, you never know. Awesome. Well, this has been a good show. Thank you for joining again, Mike.
And, always a pleasure.
Yeah, and if you're in the area, you want to get on one of the shows in the future, just let me know and we can have you back on. Thank you very much for bringing those Stone beers, and I know your love of Stone will continue.
As the Stone Arrogant Bastard cheer goes, to me!
All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us. Once again, please send us emails, correspondence, whatever you want to say. BrutalBattlePodcast@gmail.com. Check out our website, BrutalBattle.com, and find us on iTunes, please, and give us ratings and reviews because it helps us greatly. So thank you so much for listening. Please tune in for the next episode. And until then, keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.